What is going on, everybody, and welcome to the Wild Wormhole. This is a brand new Keyforge Call of the Archons podcast, and this is episode zero. I am your host, Jay, and I'm here with my other two hosts, Mike and D-House. Will you guys introduce yourselves?
You want to go first, David?
I'll go first. First of all, what's an episode zero? That doesn't even make sense, Jay.
Yes, it does. It makes perfect sense. This is like a preliminary kind of testing.
So this is nothing. Like,
testing
this is
the
nothing waters.
This is not an episode.
It's literally not.
It's a non-episode.
Yes, an episode, in fact.
All right. Yeah. So yeah, my name's David. I go by D House. Excited to be here. I've played a lot of FFG games and have done a lot of FFG themed podcasts throughout the years.
You've been trash at all of them.
So that's right. So we've been talking about this Keyforge game since Gen Con, and we're so eager to jump in. And I myself am very eager for many reasons, which we'll get to later. But I'm excited to talk about some Keyforge.
Oh yeah,
forging the keys.
That's right.
Uno.
Yeah, same here. I'm just super excited about the game. I'm Mike. You might know me from Star Wars Destiny community or the other Keyforge podcast that exists with myself and Tiny Grams called Welcome to the Crucible. So I'm obviously very excited about this game, and just want to play. I want to have a deck. Yep. I want to have my own deck. You know what I mean, dude.
I am craving to have my own deck of Keyforge finally, because like, it's fun to play on TTS. Don't get me wrong. I love playing and getting to play and test decks and see what the game is. It's kind of like demoing the game, you know, but it's not my deck that I'm playing.
Right. Right. So, which is super important in this game, because your deck is only your deck.
Yep.
So the sense of ownership is so exciting to me.
Yeah, and I like the names. Like, I want one with a cool name too. So that's gonna be exciting. Yeah.
The names are the one reason I wanted to play this game. That's it. I love all the names. Every time I see a new deck, I'm like, just tell me what the name is. I don't even care what the cards are.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
such a funny idea.
We don't have decks yet. We're playing on TTS to play tests and all that kind of stuff, but you can go ahead and pre-order these games on our good friends over at Team Covenant have set up a pre-order subscription plan, and I'm going to let Mike tell you all about it.
Yeah, I subscribe to their sort of like box subscription, so I'm going to get 12 decks of Keyforge.
Dang.
It's a lot. and the main reason why I want like a, you know, whole display of them is so I can just like give them out to friends and get them to play the game, get them into the game. Like $10, like as a buy-in, and it's less if you subscribe because it's free shipping. Yeah. And I think they're doing like minimum advertised price, so it's like $90-something for the 12 decks. So it ends
up being a very good deal.
Yeah, it ends up being like $8-something a deck instead of $10, which is pretty sweet. So I'm just going to, you know, give one to my brother, give one to my other brother, give one to my cousin, like whoever is interested in playing,
grow my local,
I guess, family community even, and just other friends who are interested. So I think that'll be a cool way to actually get other people into the game.
Oh yeah. And this game already kind of invites itself to people being able to easily jump in, which is a huge which is going to be huge for the game, in my opinion. I think that one aspect alone is going to make this game one of the biggest games that FFG has had as far as card games go. Destiny was a huge splash when it came in. It had some shortcomings and issues with production and stuff like that, and lack of the product and all that kind of stuff, which it dampered it a little bit. I don't think Keyforge is going to have that problem. At least I hope it's not going to happen.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Yeah, fingers crossed. Like
But even then, like, if you can't get, like, in Destiny, you wanted to get everything. In this, you have three decks. You have three decks. You're able to play however many times you want, and you're not going to be dampered. And what is the meta? I don't foresee there being a huge meta in this game, but maybe.
It's like a different idea of meta, right? Because there might be, in this expansion, there might be one house that people gravitate to, because they're like, wow, the some of the bigger power cards are in this house, and these particular decks have those power cards. So it's like, hey, maybe Shadows becomes a little bit more played, but is that meta? I mean, it's like almost the whole idea of the game is redefining some of these terms that we've used in every game since the beginning of games, you know? And so it's like, is there a different word for that now? Yeah. Like, is there a different, I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things I like about the game so much, it's sort of, or at least the idea of the game is like how accessible it is to like even people who aren't traditionally like gamers or especially like card gamers, because there's no deck building. It's like, when I first heard that, I was kind of like, okay, this is like a drawback to the game.
Yeah.
But now I'm kind of seeing it as like one of the strengths of the game, in that it can kind of bring more people into the hobby in general, which is really, really cool. Because, you know, like it takes a ton of time to like organize and sort cards. Like, you're never going to have to do that in this game, which is so exciting. And then, you know, like building the deck itself, like testing it, you know, like all that kind of stuff is like completely cut out of the game, which is seems so awesome to me.
Yeah, I love deck building. Like in Destiny, like I really enjoy the creative side of that, where you create your own thing and you could have your own unique thing. But sometimes, I think I was lamenting about this to you guys, in those games, I spend more time organizing and building decks than actually
playing.
And and while there's fun in building the deck, like at some point I'm like, man, the whole point is to play a game. And it's like I've spent more hours building decks or looking at decks online to try to figure out how to change my deck. And I'm like, I just want to play some games. Like, you know, I have a 4-month-old at home, and it's like I have very limited time. So when I have that free time to get together with guys, like, I don't want to spend like trying to create decks. And then, you know, like, I just want to sit down and rock out some games. And that's what's so appealing about this game to me.
Yeah. And it's funny because like when this game is the ultimate, like, all right, let's play. And it's someone that's never even played the game before. For like me and Destiny or some other game, I'm trying to build a deck for me and my friend. And it's like, all right, what this deck doesn't use these cards, so I can make optimal decks of both them, because they don't use the same cards, and I don't have to buy two complete play sets of the entire game. This game's just like, all right, here's two decks. You don't have to worry about that whatsoever, and I absolutely love that.
Mm-hmm.
So what exactly is your favorite house, do you think, so far from what we have tested?
I'll go first. So far, my favorite is Logos.
Yeah.
It inspired the name of our podcast. There's a card called Wild Wormhole, which is just play the top card of your deck. I think you get an amber as well. But it, like things like that, like where it's just kind of like a value like thing. It's like the top card of your deck could be anything. It could be something from a different house, and you can still play it. And just like all the different card draw effects that you get from Logos and all like the archiving and stuff like that. That's like totally my style of playing. So I'm excited to see more Logos decks and more Logos cards and see how, that whole sort of house like shapes
which is pretty funny to me, because you are known as the mill master. And this house is like the opposite. Instead of making your opponent discard cards, you're drawing cards. So it's like the complete opposite.
It's still like
milling your own deck, I guess.
It's like the remnants of me being like a blue magic player.
Yeah.
Where everything is just like card draw, control, and stuff like that. And where I don't think that Logos is necessarily like the control house. It definitely is like the card draw and like card advantage house, and that is definitely appealing to me on some sort of visceral level. Just like drawing cards, I don't know. Like I get a certain like dopamine like spike every time I draw a card. So that's the house for me right now, at least.
What about you, D-House? What do you think so far?
So. Granted, we haven't even seen all the cards yet. It is really exciting though, like just watching the Facebook or watching Discord to see like brand new cards pop up, and it's like, oh my gosh, that's really cool. So I'd have to say, of the cards I've seen so far, which might be half the set,
not even. I think it's like 30% of the set.
Yeah, I have no idea, but it's got to be Shadows. Like, I just they just seem to have some of the most insane effects. And again, haven't seen all the cards, so this could be a completely bogus like idea. But it feels like they have a little bit stronger effects than some other houses, so, as we've seen from
Stealing Amber is just so good.
Yeah, and it's like it's everything steals. There's a lot of like amber attached to their like actions, and so like you play a card and you get an amber, like that feels really good, so you don't have to use creatures to reap necessarily. Like there's this card that just saw today. It's a Shadows card that it's called Lights Out. It has an amber attached, and it's an action. It says play, return two enemy creatures to their owner's hand. So it's like simple effects, like yeah, you're not getting rid of them, but if you get rid of like two of their, you know, Sanctum guys, and they only have Sanctum guys out, like you're really like, as far as like tempo goes, you're really setting yourself up to get way ahead of them just by like a simple effect like that. There's another one. It's a weapon artifact called Long Fused Minds. It also has an amber attached. It's a weapon. And it has Omni on it, which I think we're realizing like Omni is such a powerful keyword to be able, you can trigger Omni cards on when, no matter what house you declare that, that round. And, it has this effect Omni, sacrifice Long Fused Minds, deal 3 damage to each enemy creature, not on a flank. So just tons of damage, tons of, it's just a great effect that you just have, you know, whenever you want it. So, there's another card, Bait and Switch. I don't have it in front of me, but another power card. Like, it's just Shadow seems really good. All that to say, what I want to be, what I want to like is Mars. I think the whole idea of like aliens shooting lasers and just this old school classic Martian idea seems like really awesome.
Martian, like, I love the aesthetic of Martian Switch.
Yeah. So they have a couple like blowout cards where it's just like, deal 3 damage to every character or creature. And a lot of, like, big things. We just haven't seen a lot of the creatures necessarily yet. So I'm kind of holding my breath. Like, of the decks that are on TTS right now, it feels like Mars is a little bit just not as strong. But I hope they are really strong, because I would love to just be a Mars player. Like, just look for all the decks with Mars.
Yeah.
So.
For me, I have to say Sanctum looks really, I love the characters, the way they look, and like they're like the knights and all that kind of stuff. I think that's really cool, but my favorite probably is the Untamed, because they're super aggressive. My favorite card so far is the Hunting Witch, because I always get that out and I just try to get out tons of creatures and get Amber as fast as possible.
What is that?
It's the one where you play it, and then each time you play another creature, you gain an amber. So, like, even if you just get one of those out, you can get amber pretty quick. And if you get two out, you're getting amber super quick.
You're flying.
And so I know there's one deck has 3 of these in it. If you get 3 of these out, then you're really set. So, Untamed, I really like. And it's got other cards. Like, there's one that it has no effect on it, and it's a action card. And it just gives you 3 amber, like in the top left, but it doesn't do anything, which is cool to me. And then it's got like fairies that are pretty much useless, but they give you 2 amber when you play them. They're pretty good at generating amber, I feel like. And they're pretty aggressive with like their power level of some of their creatures, stuff like that. I do have to say, what's the house that has the succubus in it? Dis? House
Dis, Dis, right?
Yeah, House Dis is really good at disrupting you, because it's really, really mean.
Yeah.
And Mars is probably my least favorite.
Yeah, I feel like the Mars decks that we've seen so far, at least in Tabletop Simulator, have been like less focused on like the Mars creatures and more focused on just like events and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Are sort of like more utility cards. But I've seen other decks on the Facebook page that are Mars and that have a ton of like Mars creatures, and that deck seems really interesting.
Mars has some blowout cards too. That's just like wipe the board and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. But it's hard because like it's that double edged sword of like you finally get your cool Mars creatures out and then the other Mars you just kill everything and you're like, right. Oh, there go my creatures.
Well, that's why you play around it where like you make sure you have no creatures out and then you just wipe your opponent's board.
True.
Yeah.
True. And then that freaking spider is super annoying. The Aether Spider. It doesn't do damage. It has 7 power. And then each time your opponent gains Amber, it just steals. Well, it captures it. That thing can be annoying.
I feel like it's really good at slowing your opponent down.
Yeah.
Which is like tempo is so important in this game. It's just a great effect.
Shadow seems pretty strong so far, though. I have to say. It seems like it.
Yeah, so far I'm definitely like the most afraid of Shadow.
Yeah.
It seems like the one with like the most obvious strength, like power, and then probably the more we learn how to play this game and how, or like the more comfortable you get with certain decks, you see
like how to play around certain things.
Yeah, how to play around certain things, or you anticipate like, you know, like again, it's like we're already anticipating in the few decks that we have on TTS, like. Play like trying to play around a bait and switch or trying to anticipate that coming.
Which I love about this game because you don't even know if your opponent has that in their deck.
Right.
By the way, so bait and switch, we should explain this because we're all new to this and no one knows what we're talking about. It's a Shadows card where you take Amber from your opponent until you are one ahead on Amber. So if they have 5 Amber and you have 0, you take. So you steal 3 from them. So you leave them with 2 and then you have 3. Which there's a couple times you end up with like 9 or 10 Amber based on that way your turn plays. And so you're just sitting there like, please don't have that card.
Yeah.
Because it's such a blowout.
It's like your opponent forges a key. They have no Amber left. And then you're trying to ramp up and get enough for your own key. And then they play bait and switch. And then they steal all of yours. And it feels really bad.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So we've mentioned a lot at how easy and accessible this game is for new players or players that don't get to play a lot and how like you can't memorize certain decks because you don't know what cards are in it. You don't get to pick what cards are in your deck, so you can't make it broken. But as simple as the gameplay is, because it's simple, it's heavily strategic and heavily tactile. And I still think that while it's easy and accessible, I think someone that's played more, not even if you get 2 random decks and this guy doesn't know his deck, I still think someone that's played more will have an advantage over someone that is starting the game out from scratch. Which, I mean, that's acceptable because obviously if someone's played a game more than the other person, then you should be better. But it's not nearly as... much of a margin gap in between those two people as most other games, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Right. Like the first game we played, I played a card that gave me 3 chains. And just thinking like, it doesn't seem that bad. Like, oh, I only get 1 less card. Like that's fine. Mm-hmm. And then, but waiting that many turns to draw back up to 6 when like you need to have this economic advantage of playing more cards to sort of ramp up for your victory condition. It was one of those like lessons I learned early on where like the effect I used and the penalty that was assessed or assigned to me like did not match in value. And so it was one of those like lessons that an experienced player will understand like cost reward of certain things like cards that give you chains where a new player won't necessarily know that. I will say as a side note, I've played a lot of games over the years and my wife has never like been even remotely like interested in playing it with me. Mm-hmm. But when I explained the concept of this one, she was like, okay, I'll try that one. And I was like, whoa,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I think the unique name gives it it's more enticing to play, right? So like, if I tell my fiance, hey, I'm gonna go buy you this deck, it's gonna have a completely unique name for you alone and you're the only person in the world gonna have this deck, she might would play it just based off of that.
The sense of ownership again is just super powerful.
Hey, check out this name I just saw on Discord. The name of the deck is Killingham the Pirate of Quantucket.
Now that is awesome.
Killingham the Pirate. I'm like, man, I love it.
That's great.
Yeah, that's perfect. I'm looking at some names now. The Dreamer of the Mountain. I don't know how to say Ooh. The name though. Yeah, the name aspect is really, really, really cool.
Yeah.
And the gameplay, like I said, it is pretty strategic because you have to decide, mm-hmm. all right, am I gonna play these cards or use the creatures I have on the field? I do so far the way I've been playing, if I have like three or maybe even four of the same card in my hand, I usually play those cards over using mm-hmm. the characters that I have on the field, which might be wrong, but I like that. I feel like getting cards out of your hand to kind of try to sculpt your hand feels yeah. better than using the creatures you have on the field so far, most of the time.
Yeah, it depends on the creatures you have, right? So I played against a Tiny yesterday, and I think on my first or second turn, I got out like three out of the four horsemen plus Frankus, which is like a six power guy. He's pretty powerful. And then for the next like four turns, all I did was like either reap or fight with those creatures. Didn't play a single card in my hand. And I won pretty like easily. But wow. I think that was kind of just an aberration of a game where I just like drew into an insane opening hand and just, like, you know, got exactly what I needed. He couldn't recover. If you had a card that was just like discarded, like destroy all your opponent's creatures, like that would have been, you know, me probably. Yeah. Or at least it would have sent me back, put me on the same kind of
common ground. Which is awesome because cards like that exist. So
yeah, exactly. Yep. So like there are cards that act as catch up mechanics if your opponent gets ahead like that.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see like how often those show up in decks, and how easy it is to do.
Yeah, it's like Jay and I played a game where in the last round I got like seven creatures out because I had my archives like filled with untamed and then I got a bunch of untamed cards. Literally just flooded the field and there wasn't really much he could do, but I will say like as great as that felt, he murdered like four of them in his turn and had three damage on the rest of them. And it was like one of those moments of like, you can't get too comfortable in this game.
No.
Like,
yeah.
Like, it's like, you feel really good. You're like, yeah, look at my board state. And then, boom, everything's gone. You're like, what? Yeah. I have this Dew Fairy left. And you're like, what just happened? Like,
that's actually, like, one of my favorite things about it is, like, how flexible you have to be and, like, how quickly, like, the game state can change. Because it just makes it more exciting to me. Like, I don't know, like, having someone drop like nine creatures on the board and then I'm just like, okay, there's nothing I can do about it. That's kind of boring. But having a card in my hand that can just blow them all up like for nothing or like for a couple chains or something like that, that's exciting.
Unfortunately, me wiping his board of like eight creatures still, I lost the next turn. But
yeah,
it does feel super tactical. Like you have to be ready to like for your board to be wiped, you know, or like... Mm-hmm. You gotta be ready for anything, and then like the how things affect, like if you can use your opponent's stuff to sacrifice if you have the right cards, all this kind of there's a lot more to it than what it seems like at first glance. That is for sure.
What do you guys think about like the how there's like rarity in the game? Like they have commons, uncommons, and rares. With it being like a you just buy a deck and get it. Like, do you think that will affect how some people perceive the game? Like that some people will just live to collect and like, will an alternate format where people actually create their own decks out of their cards?
Okay. Well, I don't know about like an alternate like deck building format, but probably, and I'm sure that there will be those people that just try to collect like, you know, whatever people think are the most powerful decks. But the way that Richard Garfield sort of talked about rarity makes me think that rarity doesn't necessarily equal power level, or at least that's what he said. And it doesn't necessarily even like it's not a guarantee how many rares are in a deck. And theoretically, all of the cards in the deck could be rare. So it's like, what does the rarity actually like mean in terms of what to expect. I don't know yet.
Yeah, I do remember hearing that rarity doesn't mean it's like the best, that's for sure. And then it's like, even if the way I've what I've seen from the game so far, it's like, all right, you have a super rare horseman, and then I play one card and he's gone. You know what right. I mean? So it's like,
yeah,
he might be really good, but that doesn't mean that like it's gonna win you the game. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just won't see it very often on the table across from you. Like, yeah. I'm looking at a card from a deck that came out. We need to do a segment of just like deck names in this.
Yeah,
this deck name is the Pampered Virtuoso Baron of Caring Hall.
Amazing.
It's a shadow card called the Sting. It's an artifact. It comes with a built-in amber, and it's a vehicle. It says, skip your forge a key step. You get all amber spent by your opponent when forging keys.
Wow.
And, but
what?
Yeah. And then there's an action, sacrifice the Sting, and it's a rare. So you just literally just sit there collecting all the amber they spend on their keys. And then if you get any of those cards that allow you to like forge a key, like outside of the forge a key step, like you can, because it'll put you behind in tempo because you can't, you're skipping your forge a key step. But if you, if there's a deck that has that, those cards that allow you to forge a key outside of the forge a key step, that could be crazy. But but like I said, it's a rare. So it's like, you won't see this card super often theoretically.
Yeah.
But every once in a while you'll sit down and you'll be like, wait, what does that do?
Yeah.
that's actually one of the really exciting things. It's like, here's a question, I guess. It's like, is it within the spirit of the game to like be looking at, you know, like these cards online and like even like sort of, you know, collecting them in some sort of database and like scouring them, looking over them, like, I feel like part of the fun of it is just like sitting down across from an opponent and having to actually read the cards because you don't know what they do.
Yeah.
So I think to a certain extent, like, part of me wants to like
not get spoilers. Not look
at any of these. Yeah, exactly. Like, not see spoilers at all, or at least like, you know, the ones that I'm not playing on some types of familiar, because I want to play the game. I don't have another way to play the game. I don't exactly know how to feel about that.
Yeah. And how many cards are in the set? Do you know?
There's 370 or something.
370. That's a lot of cards like to 50 try to
different,
memorize.
Yeah, there's 50 different
of each
cards for each house. Crazy. Plus, like, I mean, some of the Mavericks.
For the most part, it's going to be less planning for specific cards and more planning for houses. Like when you sit down across from a disc deck, you're gonna have to think, okay, what are the general strategies theme of disc, and like, or you sit across from shadows, you know, okay, they're gonna be stealing a lot of my amber, you know, like, and so that could affect what, like, because again, it looks like, you know, you could be rewarded in this game for, instead of skipping around and playing a new deck every time, just playing the same deck, so you know what cards you have, you know what can counter certain houses, or where, what would be more like less optimal plays based on the house you're playing against, you know, like if you're playing against Mars and you know they have like some serious board wipe power, you may not want to play a ton of creatures, go really wide. You might want to spend some more time reaping, attacking, whatever, instead of like just trying to get more creatures out. I don't know, there's so much to explore still in this game.
That's for sure.
But I can't not look at all the new cards that are posted. Like, it just it just makes me so excited.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll agree with that.
Yeah.
What do you guys, before we wrap this up in a few minutes, what do you guys think about online play? Like official online play, which was sort of hinted at by Richard Garfield. Not even hinted at. Like,
there's a YouTube video they talked about it that I haven't watched, but did either of you guys watch it?
Or I watched it. He said, he basically just said, you know, we're planning for online play, basically, in so many words.
That would be awesome. I would totally.
I think that, like, okay, number one, like, the decks already have the QR codes on them that would allow you to scan your deck into your account online. Which is sick. Number two, like the way the game is like mechanically structured makes it super easy to, you know, translate into an online game. Like you're not doing anything on your opponent's turn. Like all the effects are very sort of simple effects that you can string together in intricate ways, but all things that would be easy to like program. So I think it's a no brainer. I will be very excited if they, if they do it, and if there's an official solution, so that we don't have to keep playing on Tabletop Simulator.
Exactly.
Not as bad. Like the people that worked on the Tabletop Simulator mod, specifically
Blizzard
is like, you know, amazing at it. Like did some awesome work. But to have an official solution would be incredible.
Yeah, which is really cool because then, for sure, there'll be that you could get chains from playing online too, and that affects when you play in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be so much better to record on that than on TTS.
Oh yeah, but okay, can you imagine like there's a deck that becomes known, and because you're the only one that has it, you can have it physically and online, and you're the only one that can play a deck, but you can play it in both spaces. Like this is like the perfect online game because it incentivizes you to actually have a physical deck as well. So it's like you have to actually have the physical deck to be able to play it online, and then you can play it in both spaces, and not like one doesn't take away from the other, which is like such a great idea. I love it.
Yeah. It really is. It's like this is a brand new space that I don't know that we've seen it done anything even close to KeyForge. I would love for that to happen. Again, as a new dad and limited free time, like just having flexibility built into games. If I could choose between online and in person, I will always choose in person. I would rather sit across from someone, laugh, build into those friendships. But having the flexibility to like crank out a couple games, I think that's really cool. And the fact that I think important to note, the fact that FFG has created a brand new universe, a brand new IP that they own, they're not licensing from anybody. It just gives them a ton of freedom to innovate and create and try things that have never been done. And they don't have to wait for approval from Lucasfilm. I don't know. I think that's one of the things that appeals to me. The same reason like Legend of the Five Rings appealed to me is like, okay, they own it, so I know I don't have to worry about something not happening because of the licensing issues. Yes. Like that's the worst thing as someone who plays a game like that. I don't know. So the fact that they own it and they can, I mean, they could run tournament like official FFG tournaments like on there. I think it's cool. I can't wait. Mm-hmm. I know I have a lot of friends like in. The cool thing about the $10 buy-in where you could spend $10 and never spend another penny on the game appeals to so many guys who play other games, who play X-Wing and Legion and Destiny and all these games that cost, you know, a bit of money to stay current. It's just I've said to so many guys like, hey, you can buy in for $10 and never spend another dollar. They're like, okay, I'll play.
Like that's impulse buy territory.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is exactly what it should be as it is so accessible. So.
Although I will say we've already talked like at our local shop of doing like sealed kind of tournaments where you just show up, you spend $10, you get a deck, and then 5 minutes later you're playing your first game. And so it really just
is awesome. Like,
That's awesome. And like even that it's cheaper than most like Magic drafts, cheaper than a Destiny draft for sure. So like even if you did that like once a week or you know like once a month, like you know, you're still spending way less than you would on Destiny and collecting, you know, two copies of every single card. So it makes it a very, it makes a great game in and of itself and a really awesome, like, second game or, like, additional game. So it's like, I'll still continue to play Destiny, but being able to play this as well and not having to spend, you know, nearly as much as I would spend on Destiny is amazing.
Yeah, totally agree.
And one more thing is with the app, they could do so many cool things like leaderboards and like achievements and all these kind of sick like
that would be cool.
Prizes for tournaments that you wouldn't be able to get in other card games, especially since we won't be able to get promos in this game.
What is that noise?
Sorry, that's my That's my Sonic. I got a frozen lemonade from Sonic. Oh. This is, the Wild Wormhole sponsored by Sonic. And I'm doing like a total product placement right now. Sorry.
Oh my God.
All righty. Well, there you have it, folks. We are we're wrapping it up here now that the trash has started. So thank you so much for tuning in. Check out our YouTube channel. We're going to have a Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram, all that kind of stuff. We're going to have the RSS feed up as soon as we can. And if you like Star Wars Destiny, go check out the Jedi Trials, which is both of these guys, and then check out Double Blanks for that. And we're going to try to pump out some gameplay content, at least on TTS, until we can get physical cards and then start recording that too. So
yeah, for sure.
There you have it, folks. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for coming on and doing this with me. I'm really excited to start our podcast.
Yeah, me too.
Since this is episode 0 and no one's going to hear it.
That's right. This episode does not exist.
Yeah.
Alrighty. As always,
all right,
we'll catch you on the next one. Adios.
Bye.